Hey, it's Andrew Merle. This is the Andrew Merle Show, St. George episode, because apparently it's what all my life is about these days. At least it has been continuously since April 26th. It's been a fun ride. We won at the Louisiana Supreme Court level, allowed to incorporate. We just found out the opposition has finally filed for a rehearing. I'm not going to get into this argument yet. We just got it today, so it'll be subject for another time. Mostly legal proceedings before the Supreme Court. If they decide to grant this rehearing, if you get a chance, we will post it on the St. George Facebook page and on the Andrew Merle Law Firm page. If you want to read their brief, you're welcome to it. There's not much to it. But here's some things I do want to talk about, because since April 26th, I have been on everything from Fox News, the Times of London. I got a German interview next week. Not sure what they want. Everybody has wanted to ask questions about this city in Louisiana. And part of it started the New York Times and New York Post. Quality journalism, guys. New York supposed to be the holy grail of journalists, right? New York Times. Well, neither the Times nor the Post bothered to call us, and I mean us, any of the organizers for St. George. In fact, they didn't call anybody here at all to write their articles. They just wrote them, took a couple of quotes from a press conference we had, and that was it. No questions, no follow-up, no clarity, no background. They just wrote them. And some of this started, and the worldwide exposure to St. George started because of a publication called The Daily Mail. Think of it like a British version of the National Enquirer. And British press is notoriously awful. So think of the worst, Daily Mail. So the Daily Mail writes an article that talks about the wealthy white enclave that seceded from the city of Baton Rouge. And that launched worldwide coverage of St. George. That's the reason everyone wants to talk to us. Now, in a lot of cases, they all lead. I'll say every story I've done, if they didn't lead with it, that we seceded as an all-white city, they absolutely were told about it ahead of time that that was not the case, and that's why they didn't discuss it. Now, I'll tell you, we've had some quality news stories done about us. I'll go with Laura Ingram from Fox News. Outstanding. Outstanding job. Tony Perkins from Washington Watch and the Family Research Council lives in Central, did an outstanding job. He clearly understands the subject, and he's from here, so you would expect him to know a little more. And he lives in Central, so it's hard to argue that St. George isn't a good idea if you live in Central. And then I'll actually say, if you've ever watched News Nation, her name is Marnie Hughes. I thought she did an outstanding job as well of actually reading ahead of time to find out what was really happening so she could provide some clarity as opposed to fuel on the fire. So it got me thinking, from an audience locally, that even locally, we in the St. George area have heard these lies and these myths for so long now that we've almost got auto responses to all of it. You know, as soon as you hear it or see the Facebook post, like, all right, here we go. Which response do I need to give? Because we've been dealing with this for a long time. If you're in the St. George First petition effort, you've been doing this for almost 14 years now. You know, back in the first petition effort, they would call you horrible names while throwing stuff at you. They might threaten violence. So none of this is new to us, but it frustrates me because it's gotten such attention at such a level that it shows you in this day and age how lazy, how lazy journalism has become. They're not calling and verifying information. They're not getting sources and backup sources. They're just running with whatever gets them out the door the fastest. If it bleeds, it leads. If you're first, it doesn't matter if it's wrong. At least you were first. No one reads the retraction, right? You know, in the newspaper, they used to print the retractions like on a back page and super small print in the bottom corner when they screwed up and said a lie on the front page. And so they understand that. So they want to get it out as fast as possible. And they look at sexy topics. We used to, true story, when I took over as spokesperson for the city of St. George in the second petition drive, we had a discussion as organizers about how we would address media coverage. And I said, our policy moving forward is we will not do news media outside of the East Baton Rouge Parish metro area. Why? Wouldn't you want publicity for your issue? Well, of course we would. It would be great if we had more publicity. Maybe we can get some donations to help with the cost. If we get more attention, maybe it'll cause some put some pressure on some political figures to quit messing with us. But the problem was, your national media doesn't care what the real story is. I used to tell them all the time, I'm not doing your story. And they go, why not? Don't you want that New York Times coverage? Of course I do. But the problem is you're not willing to do like the guy from The Atlantic who thought, yeah, I'm going to interview the St. George guy and think he'll do this story and tell me what I want to know. Well, look him up and find out that every story he does is basically the same story over and over again about somebody being super racist. I'm probably not going to do that story. And so I would tell them all the time, like, hey, man, you know, I'm not going to do your interview and I'm not going to provide you with a quote. And here's why. You don't want to do the real story. And proof is in the pudding since April 26th. Nobody wants to do the real story. What is the real story of St. George? Myth versus reality, right? Headline, wealthy white enclave secedes from Baton Rouge. Just a headline. And this has been a headline basically in at least half a dozen national and international publications. Wealthy white enclave secedes from Baton Rouge. All right, let's start at the back and work our way to the front. One, Baton Rouge. National, international media does not understand that there is a city of Baton Rouge and there is an East Baton Rouge parish. They don't know and they don't care because all of a sudden, they got. I swear to God, in a pre-interview for a big interview, I was asked, what's a parish? And I go, man, it's a county. It's just like a county. Oh. I mean, it's the exact same thing as a county. It's just called a parish. Oh. Only time I've been asked that since April 26th. So they don't understand there's a difference between the city of Baton Rouge and East Baton Rouge Parish. Otherwise, what's the difference? People form cities and counties all the time, right? I'm from North Texas, and outside of the Dallas area, kind of like outside the Houston area where suburbs pop up every 20 minutes, you know, this happens on a regular basis. So it wouldn't even be news. Oh, some group just formed a city today. Okay, move on. So they don't understand that, and they don't want to understand that because that's part of killing their story. The second part would be the secede part. We've never been part of the city of Baton Rouge. You can't secede if you've never been a part of something. And we know why they're using that language, right? Racial undertones. It's kind of a secede has kind of a hostility to it. It's got a violent background. You know, they're dragging out the Civil War tropes. You know, oh, those St. George people are going to put that Robert Lee statue in their city square. That's what they're wanting. That's what the narrative they're going to. The problem is we didn't secede. Again, not a sexy topic. They have no one has asked me, with the exception of one interview, wait, y'all weren't in part of Baton Rouge before? No. We have never been in the history of the city of Baton Rouge, which is a pretty long history. The area we live in, the city of St. George city limits, has never been a city. I mean, even interviews where I thought going in, oh, this is a news outlet that should be favorable, and they are favorable to us incorporating as a city, but they just didn't understand the issue or didn't want to understand the issue, because as soon as you tell them we weren't a city before, we didn't break away, we didn't secede, they go, oh, that's not a news story, is it? No, man, it is not. It is not. So that myth right there, that's two myths. One, that we seceded and that we were a part of Baton Rouge beforehand. Neither one's true. East Baton Rouge Parish, think county. Baton Rouge, city. Yes. They have same name, except you add East to the front of it and Parish to the back of it. But it's different. And I know, if you're from Louisiana, and I'm originally not, so I had to learn this when I got here, I know, you grew up with this, it's how it's always been, but I swear to you, 49 other states have no idea what the hell a parish is, and in fact, a really good friend of mine in Tennessee is like, you know, from a national standpoint, they don't even know what you're talking about. You're speaking a foreign language to them. Instead of asking you what it means, they just run with what their assumption is, and their assumption is wrong. So let's get to the number one biggest St. George myth. Ready? And this is one that absolutely follows along the lines of secession and seceding. How do I know? Mayor President for East Baton Rouge Parish, on her first election, had a transition committee write a paper for her, and they talked about the secessionist in St. George, that we are a bunch of racists. And this is also part of that headline, the wealthy white enclave. Wealthy right residents, affluent, which is being used in with a connotation that we're affluent white people, have broke off to form our own city. So this, we'll go with the racist part first, and I'll get to the money part second. So racism. We're a bunch of racists in St. George. Our demographic is over 70% white. I believe 15% is black, and then the rest is other, Hispanic, Asian. So we must be racist because we're 70-something percent white. Well, number one, our racial demographic, and I believe Matt Walsh actually pointed this out on his show the other day, our racial demographic is about matching up with the rest of America. So hard to argue. If you're arguing that we're racist and you live in a city that's probably whiter than ours, that's a really tough sell to me. So the second part is I have actually seen the census. I had a reporter from The Advocate, which is a Baton Rouge local newspaper. I had a reporter call me probably a couple of years ago. The 2020 census came out, so probably around then. And he wanted to go over some of the information with me about the demographics and how they've changed from the prior census. And he said, you know what surprised me? Because they don't want this to be the truth. They don't want to have the correct narrative. You know what surprised me, he says? Did you know the St. George area has the fastest growing minority population in the parish? And I said, you don't say. What? You're kidding me. And then I told him something that really, really upset him. I said, you know, what bothers me about that is we hear how white we are all the time and that we want to break off and we want to form, what do we want? I mean, I think what we want, everyone agrees on. Our area wants, because we've said it repeatedly, better schools, lower crime, safer areas. We want our tax dollars spent in our area. We've said these things ad nauseum, right? So better schools, lower crime, better government, our tax dollars. We say this a lot. And I said, you know what's funny is that that is a surprise to you. It surprises me because, and this is also, if you look at the rest of our parish, the other faster growing minority populations are in Central and Zachary, both cities that form their own school districts that have top five school districts. And I said, you know what I hate about this, having this conversation is, you know, every time someone calls me racist, I wonder why. We just want these things. And I don't think anything is color-coded in those in my list of wants. And I said, more importantly, I think you'd be surprised to find out that other people want that too. And that's not a thing that's not an issue that I feel like is racially motivated. And the census proves it. The places that are growing with the fastest minority populations, ding, 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 areas that form their own school districts are now, instead of performing at the bottom of the state that's near dead last in education, you're now looking at two of the top five school districts in the state. Guess what? Black folks like that too. That's what I know. You know, the divisiveness of creating a racial argument is done so because the mere mention and notion creates such anger and hostility that it's hard to have a reasonable conversation after that, because everything is, sure, racist, you're racist, you're racist, and it's over and over again. And you can't have a reasonable conversation. But the reality is, and the census proves it, that's not conjecture, that's not rhetoric, that is fact based on the census. I didn't conduct the census. I didn't knock on doors going, hey, who lives here? That's a report issued by the government. And they say that we all want the same things. In the case of St. George, at the time the census came out, our minority population was growing because we were an area that was offering hope, as in a new city's coming, hope of a better education system that would be in their neighborhood, responsive and accountable to them, hope that some government in this parish would enforce the law and hold criminals accountable, hope that we would stem the tide of a parish that is losing population, except for, surprise, the St. George area, Central and Zachary, two areas that boast the top five school systems in the state. It's a big surprise. We all want that. And finally, I have to say, man, you know what's racist? Thinking that black people don't want that too. You know, if you get past the skin level surface, generally, I've found we all want the same things. I hope we do. You know, we want a safe place to raise our kids. We want our kids to have the best possible opportunities for their future. We want to be in a place where we can grow up and maybe our kids live a couple of houses over so we can play with the grandkids without having to travel to Texas for holidays. You know, we want a place that we feel good about saying, I live here. And I've never noticed that to be color-coded. I've never saw a group that said, you know, hell no, man. We don't want that. We want crime. I want my kid not to read good. You know, I want my kid to move off as far away as possible so I can barely ever see him and I have to FaceTime him every day. No one says that. But we're racist because we wanted to form a city. And so somebody, and I saw this on Facebook, one of the race baiters, was posting about how racist we all are. And he is from the Sandy Springs, Georgia area. And anybody that's followed St. George for any length of time knows that Sandy Springs, Georgia was one of the original inspirations for the incorporation effort. They were part of Fulton County. They were unincorporated, just like us. They noticed that Atlanta was siphoning their tax dollars and not providing them with an equal amount of services. And they began their incorporation effort. And this guy online wants to tell us how much he knows about this and how racist we are because he was in Sandy Springs. And Sandy Springs is a vibrant, diverse community. It is 54% white, I believe is what he posted, with a large African-American population. Well, somebody, one of our supporters, went and looked at the demographic info of Sandy Springs, Georgia, and at the and the race poster was correct. Sandy Springs currently is 54% white with a large minority population. But the race baiter forgot to look at Sandy Springs demographics when they incorporated, when they were 73% white. Almost identical demographics to the city of St. George. So as I was saying, what one person calls racist, I call opportunity for all. And that's a better city that's more accountable, that's going to hold criminals accountable, that's going to attempt to create a school system at some point, a school system that hopefully will follow the same trajectory as our neighbors in Zachary and Central and be top five, top 10 school districts instead of the 57th ranked school district in the state. And because of that, everyone else will move here. It'll be a land of opportunity. It'll be your best chance outside of Central and Zachary to remain in East Baton Rouge Parish and raise your family. And every single area in our parish that has succeeded with their own school system, Central and Zachary, have shown a large influx of minority residents moving to that area because they want the same things we do. So to throw out the racist trope is both ignorant and lazy. It's just taking away, they're trying to take away from real issues that they don't want to look at, they do not want to research, and they don't want to really see the answers. You know, when I tell you that Baton Rouge is on a path towards bankruptcy, that's based on fact. That's based on publications reporting that Baton Rouge has one of the highest levels of bond debt in America. Baton Rouge is one of the most overleveraged cities in America. Baton Rouge has per capita one of the top 10 homicide rates in America. It's one of the bottom performing school districts in the state of Louisiana, which is near dead last in education. Those are facts. That's not conjecture. That's real. And that goes below a skin level surface into fact. So let's look at the second part of wealthy white enclave. Wealthy. We get told this a lot. And it's humorous, and it's actually a narrative that's so terrible that our volunteers and supporters, a core group that's been together for a long time, I'm telling you, best group of people you could ever be around and work with and spend time with. You know, I didn't know a single one of them on my first St. George Day. And it takes me 30 minutes to go around hugging, high-fiving, shaking hands, and asking how our families are doing now. It's like a freaking family reunion, and it's beautiful. But the laughter is about the word wealthy. None of us have showed up to one of our events in a Ferrari. None of us are lighting our cigars with $100 bills. The makeup of the St. George supporter is purely middle class. We do have well-to-do areas that skew the data in St. George. Absolutely. We've got a couple of areas that do have significantly higher income residents than the rest of St. George. Absolutely true. But the humor of wealthy is that our supporters, our volunteers, and the majority of the over 17,000 people that voted in favor of incorporation is decidedly middle class. Firemen, teachers, preachers, insurance agents, bankers, a couple of lawyers here and there, sheriff's deputies. We are, you know, average Joe American. We are decidedly middle class. And so the idea that we get called wealthy a lot is pretty humorous because we work very, very hard for this effort. If we were truly as wealthy as the media and our opposition portrays us, we would have hired somebody to do all this. But no, we show up and do it every single day. It is truly a dichotomy of every profession known to man, of people who really came together for whatever reason they decided to be a part of St. George. And a lot of it was education. Some of it was crime. Lately, you know, I'm a better government person. I would like better government, better use of my tax dollars. So whatever reason found you in St. George, you worked when you got there. You volunteered, you put in the sweat, you put in the time, you put in your resources, whatever they could be. But I promise you, it has nothing to do with wealth. You know, I think, you know, I get a lot of questions about the wealth issue, how we're wealthy and rich, and I kind of laugh, and then, unfortunately, because I'm a lawyer, they assume I must be doing way better than I really am. Great. They don't know how much time I spend doing St. George stuff. But the fun part about it is they like to cherry pick. We're always rich and wealthy and white. And then Baton Rouge, the city of Baton Rouge, is always super poor and black. That's the narrative, right? Us versus them, rich versus poor, white versus black. But it's cherry picking. Because at the same token, they will take the poorest neighborhood in Baton Rouge and compare it to the wealthiest street in St. George. They refuse to do the opposite. This may be a secret. I'm going to let the secret out right now. Did you know there are wealthy citizens in the city of Baton Rouge? Did you know that? They do. They got a whole lake with people around it. Why do you think they siphoned $50 million from the Move BR Road project? Those rich folks around the lake need a prettier lake to look at. You know, in a neighborhood called River Bend in the city of Baton Rouge, there's actually a street they call Millionaire's Row because all the wealthy people that live on it. So it's dishonest to say how broke Baton Rouge is all the time. Its residents are all poor. That is just not the case. There's a little bit of everything in Baton Rouge. And guess what? There's a little bit of everything in St. George. We're not all wealthy. We're not even all middle class. We even have poor people. I know you hate that. It destroys the narrative. And I'll tell you this about the middle class. You don't have a society that functions without a middle class. And as much as our society is attempting to get rid of the middle class and leave only the super wealthy and the super poor, the middle class, we're the ones that volunteer. We're the ones that join civic organizations. We're the ones that show up at schools. We're the ones that work for the rich people. We're the ones that spend money in the local economy over and over and over again. We're here every day putting in the effort. And history will tell you in every society that when you lose your middle class, you lose that middle level of income, that you're on the verge of collapse. How do I know? It happened in Detroit. Detroit went bankrupt because it wouldn't change its ways. Citizens kept leaving as taxes increased and crime increased and education decreased. Citizens continue to leave. What's left? The super poor, who don't have to pay any taxes and don't really care. They get services for free. And the super wealthy, who can afford to buy whatever they want, so none of this affects them initially. And then when you lose that middle class, you move that big part of your tax base, you move that labor force, you move their small businesses. Guess what? The rich folks are leaving next because they're not going to pick up the tab any longer. And now you're left with a city of predominantly poor. So without the middle class, without our St. George citizens and our Central citizens and our Zachary citizens, predominantly middle class communities, this parish would be on the verge of collapse. So to say we're all rich and wealthy is a overstatement. It's an absolution. It's not based in reality. You can go to any area, and if you have a wealthy citizen, it's going to skew the income for everybody else around them. You know, if we have major corporate owner who lives in our area, he is skewing the average income for everyone else. It's not the richest. It's not the poorest. It's the average number in the middle. Throughout the high and the low, we're a middle-class community. So to say we're wealthy, it's so ridiculous. All we do now in St. George is volunteers laugh about it. Here's another one. We're bad for Baton Rouge. So our opposition has been selling you this, what's called a zero-sum game. If St. George wins, Baton Rouge must lose. Now, I promise you, read the trial transcript. They can't tell you why. They have no clue as to why we're bad for Baton Rouge. All they can say is it must be bad for Baton Rouge if St. George succeeds. And it just doesn't bear out with the facts. So I'm going to go away from the usual. I always talk about Central. I've told you before, their population increased, their budget increased, the tax collections for the parish have increased because of their success. But let's look away a little bit. Let's go look at, we'll say Nashville, Tennessee, right? If you've been to Nashville, it's pretty cool. I love going. I go probably every couple of years. It's one of my favorite areas to go to. So what you might not see on vacation in Nashville is the county of which Nashville is in. It's called Davidson County. It's made up of multiple cities, not just Nashville. It's also made up of multiple school districts, not just one Nashville school district. If you went somewhere in Hamilton County, Ohio, that is where Cincinnati is, you would see there is Cincinnati and a bunch of little suburb cities around it. And what else you'll see is 21 independent school districts in that county, 21 separate school districts. So you start to see a pattern emerge over and over again. And what happens is these suburb cities, with their oversight, their accountability, small government, independent school districts, obviously, I'll assume they're enforcing crime at a higher level than an inner city or a regular city could. You're seeing almost double-digit growth in these areas. They're growing because people live in the suburbs to raise families. That's where they spend the middle portion of their lives. They're going to raise their kids there, send them to school there. It is the double-digit growth for these counties. And then the major city benefits because where do you think they work? They live in the suburb, they work in the city. They live in the suburb, their business is in the city. They go live in the suburb, they go to eat, they go to events, they do touristy things in the city. You know, Cincinnati, they're going to baseball and football games. They're going to walk down by the river. They're getting some skyline chili. In Tennessee, in Nashville, they're going down to, you know, down to the strip. They're going to go down on Broadway. They're going to go check out some music. They're going to get something to eat. This happens only because the people in the suburbs will go downtown and spend their money there. They'll spend their free time and recreation there. It doesn't happen when they live too far away. For example, Livingston Ascension Parish. What Livingston and Ascension got tired of doing was, well, we live so far away from Baton Rouge because it's not safe there, and we wanted free schools that were good for our kids. So at some point, they decide to turn away from Baton Rouge and go, we're going to create our own things here. We're now big enough growth-wise that we need our own stuff. And you go out to Gonzales and Ascension Parish, and they go, you know what? We're tired of driving that far into Baton Rouge where it's unsafe. We and our families don't live there anyway. We've now put our businesses out here. Let's turn the other way and create our own things. So going back to, is it bad for Baton Rouge? It's bad for Baton Rouge if we keep leaving, which is what we've been doing for decades now. And by we, I mean the citizens of East Baton Rouge Parish. In the last few decades, the average voter age has increased 5-10 years almost. One of the higher voter ages in the state, which tells you young people aren't staying here. Think about how ridiculous that is. In a parish that houses a major university, we have one of the higher voting ages in the state because young people leave here as fast as they graduate, soon as they can, because it's not safe. They're tired of paying for private education if they don't have to, and there's opportunities are better elsewhere. So again, it's not a zero-sum game. If St. George is successful, people will stay here. If St. George is successful, people will relocate here. If St. George is successful, extra people mean their businesses come here. It means they're spending their money here, their disposable income. They're going to our events here. And that means more revenue, more tax dollars for everybody in the parish. So bad for Baton Rouge is ridiculous. Something else we get told a lot, and I'll tell you, it's a group, and I call them magnet moms. They are super passionate about their child's education. Now, before I get into magnet mom, I'm going to tell you this. There's some aspects of what they do I do not disagree with. Magnet mom is super passionate. Magnet mom has one singular focus in life, her child's education. She is going to make sure her precious goes to the school that she thinks is best for her kid. And I promise you, she will stab you if she thought that's what it took. It's super passionate base. I completely understand where they're coming from. I couldn't agree more that if more of us had a sole singular purpose of what's best for our children, you know, in the law, we say the best interest of the child. If we took that notion with everything in life, including education, our society would be light years ahead of where it is now. Okay? So I completely understand. However, One, magnet mom typically does not care what you have to say. I have yet to encounter a magnet mom that was willing to listen, have a rational discussion, or even discuss the possibility that, I don't know, St. George could create a school system that would be one of the higher performing school systems in the state. How do I know? Central and Zachary did it. She does not want to hear that. She's got one school on her mind. Wherever little Susie's going, whether it's Flame, BRCVPA, DeFrock, I can't, Baton Rouge High, Liberty High. If it's a high-performing magnet school in East Baton Rouge Parish, she wants to make sure little Susie stays there forever, right? She wants to make sure that Susie finishes her Mandarin classes, make sure she can play the harp. So she doesn't care about your kid. She doesn't care about other kids. And she doesn't want to get into the argument that's the reality is while we have a few high-performing magnet schools, the magnet school program itself is inherently flawed because it's not a public school system. A public school system should not be able to deny entry for any reason, I believe. So if a public school is able to say you can't come here for any reason other than you don't live in this area, then it's probably not a real public school. So if your kid had to test to get in there, it's not a real public school. If you're having to pay mandatory fees to attend it, it's not a public school. And then look at the performances. While some of these magnet schools are very high performing, congratulations, the opposite effect is had on the rest of the parish where clearly the education system has given up. And we look at C's, D's. You know, only in East Baton Rouge Parish do you go, C, sounds good to me for a school system rating. We have a lot of D's and F's in this parish. We have a lot of teachers and administrators who frankly have given up because there's no support for them. The kids don't care. It's an environment not conducive to quality education, and they're not able to provide the resources necessary for those kids. And because the kids are being bused all across the parish, there's no community buy-in. It's hard to get parental involvement when your parent lives half a city away, 20 miles away, having to work at their jobs. They don't get to participate in school activities. It's just not feasible. So you lost that buy-in. And so while she's getting a great education for Susie, we're losing 10, 20, 100 kids that aren't getting the same opportunity she has. And then if Magnet Mom would take a second, because Magnet Mom likes to call names occasionally, and I get it. I am lumping all of them together, and I know they're not all bad people, and I know they're rational, but we get a lot of this on Facebook, and we get a lot of this in public from Magnet Mom. What's unfortunate is I think that magnet system is somewhat racist. I think that magnet system is, I'm trying to figure out what the proper term would be. I'll say they have privileges and homes that accommodate higher levels of performance. And what I'm saying is, if you look at the demographics for a magnet school, Baton Rouge High, we'll take Baton Rouge High, highest performing school in the Baton Rouge area, I believe, public school-wise, traditionally. I think you find a Baton Rouge High alum, they'll be the first to tell you. Look at the racial demographics of Baton Rouge High. And then look at the racial demographics of Terra High. And what do you see? A dramatic shift. In fact, the Baton Rouge High demographics are more closely similar to the future City of St. George demographics, at least initially, if the school system was launched on day one. And so what that tells me is those magnet schools are excluding African-American children. Why? I don't know. That's not my question to answer, and I wish somebody would ask the question of the magnet programs. Why they get to cherry pick while these other schools are forced to take what they have to. And let's look again at the economic backgrounds of the magnet programs. I'll wager, and I don't think I'm having to stretch very far to do this, that your magnet school parent, because I've encountered magnet mom a lot, I will wager that your average magnet school parent, or average, I'll say average magnet school child, typically comes from a two-parent household, the complete opposite of the non-magnet school public schools in East Baton Rouge Parish. I will wager, and I know I'm right, that the magnet school families have a significantly higher level of average income than the non-magnet schools in East Baton Rouge Parish. So you've given these children who have family advantages and economic advantages their own private school system so they can succeed, and you've taken out what you would call, what they would call, quote, the troubled kids, the difficult kids, the kids that don't have those advantages, and you've written them off in failing schools elsewhere in the parish. Now, why is that good for the parish? Why is that okay? I understand Susie's getting a quality education. I'm happy for her. But as someone who wants the betterment for the whole, I can't understand how this East Baton Rouge Parish school system is allowed to write off all the other kids who deserve a chance and an opportunity. To me, these are questions people should be asking, not why St. George is trying to create a school district, but rather, why isn't East Baton Rouge Parish trying to help and save and educate all the children in the parish? They're not. You can go watch Instagram Fight Club pages and see that. You can look at scores and ratings and report cards for schools and see that. You can watch video students take in class of teachers sleeping on their phones, eating when they should be instructing. I mean, the level of violence at these schools is appalling. So I understand Magnet Mom's passion for her child's education, and I don't blame her one bit. But don't come at me with your holier-than-thou righteousness about why me trying to form a better school system in St. George and why I'm so terrible, racist, hate kids, when the reality is quite the opposite. The St. George school system's the one that wants to give the kids in the St. George area a chance for a better education. And we looked at our neighbors and said, my God, they form their own school systems. Instead of being 57th, they're in the top five. I think we'd be doing a disservice and a crime to our children to not want a school system that emulates what our neighbors are doing. And again, I understand, Magnet Mom. I get it. But, you know, year one Susie is 1,000 kids who deserve a chance. My final myth is kind of a myth that I think about a lot, because I'm asked, do people support St. George? Who supports St. George? I think if you went through the city of St. George at this point and were to survey and poll randomly, you might find out, and if I wouldn't be surprised, that 75% of the citizens of St. George support the incorporation of St. George. Now, this is a narrative that the mayor loves to roll out. This is like probably her favorite narrative that she'll speak on extensively. That somebody told her and put on the teleprompter so she could read it. And that's only 17,000 people voted in favor of incorporation while the rest of the parish wasn't allowed to vote. So let's look at that. Why wasn't the rest of the parish allowed to vote? Number one, in the history of Louisiana, which is a pretty long history, every incorporation has only been voted on by the people attempting to incorporate their city, by the citizens affected by the city being created. Never, ever in the history of Louisiana has an entire area voted on an incorporation for a smaller area. It does not happen. It doesn't make sense. all it would do is create the same problem over and over again, where the big brother who's siphoning all the money would never allow the little brother to grow up. The reality is we're unincorporated. If you wanted us, you should have annexed us when you had an opportunity. But after a while, we decided we're going to create a city. So not only that, the 17,000 number, it is correct and incorrect in its usage at the same time. So number one, yes, over 17,000 people October 12, 2019 voted in favor to incorporate the city of St. George. That is correct. Well, it's a more impressive number than it might appear on the surface. And here's why. Well, one, more people voted to incorporate the city of St. George than most of our judicial elections in the last decade. Number two, this was a 60% voter turnout election. We didn't hide on some random spring ballot with a couple of weird taxes no one's ever heard of. We were on a major fall ballot. 60% voter turnout is the highest voter turnout this century in our area of East Baton Rouge Parish. And of that number, 54% voted in favor of incorporation. So the people who voted were the only ones who should have voted. How do I know? Well, Louisiana state history told me so. And the number of people that voted is significant. It's a huge number compared to most elections. It's a huge voter turnout. It's a huge number that voted in favor of. And then the idea that everyone in the parish should vote on this is absurd. This would be the equivalent, in my comparisons always, all the elections that we in the city of St. George don't get to vote on, such as I don't get to vote for Baton Rouge City Court judges. You could argue that affects me on a regular basis. We didn't get to vote on CATS, which is money the parish uses and the city of Baton Rouge uses that we don't get access to. There's a lot of services that we don't get to vote on or get to be a part of that are strictly city of Baton Rouge. I didn't vote for the central mayor. I didn't vote for the Zachary School Board. I don't vote for other members of the Metro Council. God wishes I could. So the idea that other people outside of the boundaries would vote on an election within the boundaries is silly when you think of it in context of the whole and you look at the other comparisons. So again, these are some of the myths and these are some of the realities for the city of St. George as we move forward and become a city. Very exciting to do so. Yes, there is a rehearing filed by our opposition attempting to have the whole case reversed. It's highly unlikely. The argument doesn't look very good for them. But in the meantime, we are moving forward with the city of St. George. And if you want to be a part of the movement, you want to help us move forward with St. George, and you live in the St. George area, we welcome you. And I mean welcome you. That's whether you're for us or against us, whether you're pro school district or magnet mom trying to hold on, we welcome you to come to the table. You might have an idea we haven't thought about. You may have the perfect solution no one's ever looked at. You may be the person who does the best research on how we can create a better service for our citizens. We need your feedback. We need your input. We need your ideas. And frankly, whether you love us or hate us, the time for complaining on Facebook is over. The time for sending messages of hate is over. You have an opportunity to come to the table, no matter what side you sit on, and contribute to your city. How cool is that? Your city. Your city that one day you can tell your grandchildren, you know, I was there when it was created, and I went to some meetings, and I offered up the best thing that's ever happened to St. George, and they listened to me because I was in the room when it happened, and we created it. And you know what? It's been the best thing that's ever happened to St. George in this parish, and it can be yours, your idea. Great, bring it. Our idea was to take best in class. Our idea was to take the best ideas that we can find and eliminate the worst mistakes that we see made. And if we can do those two things, and you can help us do that, then we get to wake up every day knowing we did everything we could to create a wonderful city. And so you can be a part of it. Come find out what it's about. Come to our meetings. If you're on our Facebook page, whether you're complaining or supporting, we will post the meeting times. As soon as a mayor and city council is appointed, we will set a meeting date and time for that. The St. George Transition District typically meets the second Monday of every month, 4:30 p.m. at the St. George Fire Department headquarters. And as soon as we reset those appointments, we'll reset the dates for those meetings as well. It'll function just like any other city council meeting you've seen or been to. We will put an agenda out. It'll have public comment. And then we will vote on it. We need your help to do all of these things. We need your help to create the St. George Master Plan, a document that will govern how our part of the parish and our city develops for the foreseeable future. So that's it. A bunch of myths versus the realities in St. George. Some of it, if you're from St. George, a lot of this is stuff you've heard for a long time now. And a lot of realities you live with and you've known for a long time. If you're not from the St. George area, maybe this sheds some light on some of the misconceptions you've heard about or may have with the city of St. George. You can always leave me fan mail on Buzzsprout so I can find out what you think about it. You can always email me, andrew@andrewmerle.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. You can also become a producer. That helps me fund the show and take care of the show and make sure that I'm beholden to you and not some special interest. So thank you very much. I'm Andrew Merle. This has been the Andrew Merle Show.